Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Gray Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Commander in Chief. We are still paying for it, the Commander in Chief. It's 2021, and people are still dying from the virus. People are actually getting on planes with no masks. People are fighting in stores. With no mask. Why? Because the Commander-in-Chief said it's okay. Go ahead, do what you want to do. This is bad. This is real. We are in a very bad situation. And some people think it's okay. They can't do what they do. It's a crisis for Americans. This nurses. And we're not going to get over it until this move 45 is in jail. That's where it needs to go. I said this a year ago. He needs to go to jail. We were one step away from dictatorial government. One step. You have people buzzing into the Capitol building. Really? That's okay, right? Come on, folks. We have three congresspersons who are acting a complete fool. One who's calling people names because he's Muslim. Come on, man. Stop the foolishness. Hey, this is getting out of hand.
BlackAthlete.com.
Looking for the definitive source for information? BlackAthlete.com, that's where it's at. From Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali, to Michael Jordan and Shaq, football, basketball, baseball, and everything in between, we focus on all the major players and stories, daily features, video on demand, and Black Athlete newspapers coming to a city near you. Tired of the same old sports programming? Check out BlackAthlete.com. Sports the way you like it.
Yes, what do you like? We are Black Athletes for Network. I'm Gerard Gray. Hope you enjoy the show today. It's going to be a quick one today, quick show today. It's just quick news of the night. A Grammy Cup of the Kansas City Chiefs and Youth Workers passed away that night. 75 years old, the image of the Kansas City Chiefs and the Youth Workers linebacker, the late, great Grammy Cup. Michigan Wolverines and Nightmare of the Old School with old school smash running victory over the Ohio State Buckeyes 41-26, winning the Big Ten East Conference, stopping an 8-year run by the Buckeyes, and this drove the BCS in a complete mess. Georgia blows up Georgia Tech 40-0 and lays claim to number one. Next week it'll be Alabama for the SEC crown. Last night, Mr. Fox scored 38 points with the Sacramento Kings as they upset the Los Angeles Lakers 141-138. And here we go again. The Oakland A's let three of their stars go as the New York Mets claimed Sonny Marte and Mark Canna, making the Mets better but making the A's worse. The A's will go back to the farm team and pick up their farm team again. Number five, Duke. Play Gonzaga. They beat Gonzaga last night. So now they're going to be a number one. Monday they'll be a number one. Sonny Dykes will move from SMU to TCU. And this is musical chairs again. And hockey, late night game. The Toronto Maple Leafs put a beat down on his LA Sharks. With three goals in the third period, as the Maple Leafs beat the Sharks 4-1 in a late night game. What I want to do is Monday, baseball Hall of Fame, the ballots are out. Prince Miller, Will Rollins, A-Rod, Lindsey Gum, Ron Howard, Mark DeSera, Big Bobby will be the first chance. It'll be the last chance for the steroid crew. That includes Clemens, A-Rod, Bonds, Sammy Sosa, and they don't get in the top. I don't think they're ever gonna get in. But like I said before, you put a steroid era ward, and put all the players in the Hall of Fame in a steroid era ward. It's like the Greeny War, the Alki War, the Racist War. So they can put these guys in. And Barry Bonds should be a no-brainer. Because with them it has steroids. Bonds is all favor. I'm sorry. You can't do this. Last week, a fight broke out between the Detroit Pistons and the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, I know LeBron James fan. But watching this fight, LeBron James didn't do anything. And the fight continued for about 5 minutes. Both of the players got ejected. The Lakers won the game. Anthony Davis double-double. And I look on Facebook, and the vitriol about James is outrageous. But that's where we are now. In America. If you're a black guy and you do good, it's alright, but when you do bad, it's like, oh, I'm gonna get you down, Negro. That's where we are. It's a shame. I'm gonna take a break and come back with more news. That's the best version I've ever heard. That's the best version of Change Can Come. It's been done so many times by so many people. That's Brian Owens and his father. They're going to do it. Change Can Come. Yes, it will. And that's what I hope. I hope it. You know, when I was 20 years old, I really believe that America would be a better place for African-American men. I was going to be a better place for disabled people in America. Well, part of it's come true. Part of it we're still working on. And part of it is no excuse. America knows what's right and what's wrong. And they choose to do whatever they want to. That's part of the problem. I'm right. You're wrong. I'm left. You're right. I'm blue. You're red. I go back to November 22nd, 1963. That was the end of civility. The end of American democracy in action. Ever since then, it's been a joke. I'm just saying. We can do better than this. I know we can do better than this. Because you have proven it time and time again. Going to the moon. Raising hurricane funds for people overseas. We've done this before. It's time to do it again. We know that some people in Congress are not acting in our best interest, and they need to be outed. They need to be outed. Marjorie Taylor Greene, you're going to give a Nobel Peace Prize to Mr. Rittenhouse. Really? I mean, really? Seriously? What are you talking about? That's where we are today. And we can't talk about it because you want to beat me upside the head. first playoff game at South Dakota Coyotes today at 3 Pacific time. The Lukies against the Coyotes in the first round of the LCS playoff. It'll be the first home game ever in playoff by the Coyotes, who joined the league in 2008 in the Missouri Valley Conference. The Missouri Valley Conference has been transformed to the north, which is the Dakota schools, North Dakota State, South Dakota State, and that's been the influx of the Missouri Valley the last 10 years. And North Dakota State has taken the crown again, so as at number 10 in 10 years, North Dakota State Bison win the Missouri Valley again. All right, we get kids of other sports. LPGA, the Pelican Women's Championship, Bellar, Florida, Jin Young Koo wins. Naza Otago a second. That was last week. PGA this week, the U.S. Bank Enterprise Open in Houston, Texas. Derek Gooch wins. That was last week, excuse me. Derek Gooch wins by 3 strokes. WTA last week, they were in Austria.
Number 4
1981, Georgia defeated Georgia Tech today. Michigan defeated number two, Ohio State. Alabama is playing right now against Auburn and the Iron Bowl. Cincinnati at East Carolina University, and that will be the first school, if this holds up, it will be the first minor school to get into the Big Four in 25 years. The last small school to do this is BYU. And people were so mad at BYU. Never have any small school back in ever again. This might be the break in the action. All right, Notre Dame is at Tampa later on today, number 6. Oklahoma State. The Cowboys are hosting the Oklahoma Sooners. Number N. Small schools. Sam Houston, number 1. Sam Mass, number 2. North Dakota State from the Missouri Valley, number 3. Kennesaw State, number 4. Number 10, the Missouri State Bears from Missouri Valley. South Dakota State, Missouri Valley, number 11. Number 21, South Dakota Coyotes, Everett, Missouri Valley Conference. Number 22, Florida A&M, Southwest Atlantic Conference. Number 23 is SIU Carbondale, and number 23 will play number 21 today. Somebody gonna leave after today. Northern Iowa rounds out the 25 with Missouri Valley. MEAC, the Eagles of Rogers Central beat the Hornets of Delaware State overtime thriller. 34-28 last week. The Bulldogs stuck out with the MEAC title. 31-21 with victory over Nova State. Kansas State to be the Braves. And they will play A&M at the right then. So you have that. Last night, the SIU Salukis hosted the Alcorn State Braves. It was a very, very good game. Alcorn State held its own, and Alcorn State went down 68-72. The SIU won the game, the Lukies. So, great game. You were there at Carbondale last night. And more schools to play HBCUs. NFL this week, Chicago Bears are happy with the head coach. Nagy might be the second one to lose his job. They played on Thanksgiving. And they look very lethargic. And they beat the Detroit Lions. AKA Detroit Kitties, in the last second of the game. So, the Raiders played Dallas over the weekend as the first win since John Gruden's departure. And it wasn't pretty. Games this week, we already said Chicago is at Detroit. The Chargers are at Denver. The Raiders are at Dallas, right at that one. Houston, Cleveland is at Baltimore, and the question is Lamar Jackson going to play tomorrow? Seattle is at Washington, and this could be the end of the Russell Wilson era in Seattle, because they're not going anywhere this year. The Florida Gators fired head coach John Mullen after a very bad season, and I think they won today as they beat Florida State in the Battle of Florida. We will see. They got the football, all the football stuff. Oh, I watched the Friday night news here. Last night, if anybody saw the Warriors game, this Warrior team is very different. This Warrior team is better than it was in 2016. There's a reason why I say that. This Warrior team has a nucleus that is very powerful. What I mean is this. You have 5 veterans, soon to be 6 veterans, who understand how to win the game. You have 6 rookies who are learning how to win in the game, but they're getting education with the older guys. What I mean is, when you have Curry, Iguodala, Green, and Clay Thompson teaching you all this stuff, you're bound to learn what to do. With Wiggins, Poole, Payton, this team, I think, much more dangerous than the 16 team. This is what I'm talking about. Alright, you start the game with Draymond Green at center. Wiggins at small forward. Or as shooting guard. He's interchangeable. Then you have Curry on the outside. You bring in Gary Payton. You bring in Jordan Poole. You bring in Andrew Wiggins. Right. Then you have Looney coming at center, who was a hustler. I'm telling you, this team is way better than that team years ago, because they never get tired. That team in 16, they got tired. Yeah, it was the week of the game, but they were cracks. Okay? This team is better, because this team have young guys who want to, are hungry and want to win. Then you have a guy sitting on the bench who comes in December, Clay Thompson. What are you going to do then? What are you going to do when he comes in? And they already won 17 games already. They won 17 games out of 19. And you're saying, no. The only team that even scares me a little bit is the Brooklyn Nets. And Brooklyn has a problem because understand. You got a great team, and you need to go support this team. Go support this team. Go to one game, one time. That's all you have to do. I'm gonna take a break. Come back in a minute. Take a break. We're gonna do a little top five interlude.
Ask me, the Dirty Devils.
everybody out there in their uniform, in their jersey. I don't know who the designer is, but they need to go back to school. Because the New Jersey Devils hockey jersey is terrible. It's a terrible jersey. It looks like the Ottawa Senators. I don't want any team looking like somebody else. This is going on right now. I'll get Michael and see what he says about it. But I am just because of the jersey right now. And that uniform. Michael, are you there?
I am here, G. What's cooking?
Michael, what's the issue about this New Jersey?
Well, when the Devils started, we know why they took the nickname from the so-called Jersey Devil, which is some mystical creature and stuff. But the color scheme then was red, green, and white. You know,
and the sisters across the street didn't like that.
No, they didn't. And so because of that, they changed the color scheme to white, to red, black, and white. That worked for a little while. I mean, I don't know where in the ranks of the NHL that they rank in jersey sold in terms of color scheme, but they were definitely at the bottom. And, you know, this was at a time frame when many teams in all sports decided that adding some black to their color scheme.
Every team got black in it now. Almost every team got black in it now.
And sometimes they called them special edition jerseys. Sometimes in the era of the NHL, they would be like Sunday only jerseys, you know. But the whole bottom line was they wanted to make money selling jerseys. So everybody went on this black
kick.
That's right. They went on this black kick, and you know, for the most part, they made money. There was one sports writer, if you remember. From the time, not the Times, the Post, Phil Mushnick, who made an issue about this because he was saying this was game colors and stuff like that. And in some cases, you know, in a couple of cases, they were actually true because Hernandez, forgive me his first name, I can't remember his first name, but, Felix, one of the, King Felix. Felix Hernandez, who was a pitcher for the Seattle Mariners, was supposed to be a Latin king. And that was a big gang in the New York area. And maybe we have national implications now. But anyway, Latin Kings colors were a certain way. And some stores were selling
those jerseys.
Jerseys and caps.
With
color scheme. Knowing that this guy had gang affiliations. And must have said something about that. But it wasn't just there. There were other situations, too, with Crips and blood colors and stuff. But the long and short of it was being used to try to make money.
Right.
Now, I know what the Senators' color scheme looked like.
Toronto, every Sunday, Toronto used their black jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's a New Jersey state law. I love the law.
All right.
The New Jersey state, the New Jersey high school association said, look, if your colors are XYZ, that's what you're gonna wear. You're not gonna wear anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy with New Jersey at law. I was getting tired of this team going all crazy with the different colors.
Okay, but still, since you brought this up, the Ottawa Senators color scheme is a variation of this white, red, and black, although Ottawa has a little bit of gold in their color scheme, too.
Right.
But the jerseys have never really been a high seller. And a lot of people and admittedly said, you know, if we add black to the color scheme, we'll make money.
Right.
And some did, but Ottawa wasn't one of those. But now
I got all three of the Ottawa jerseys.
Okay.
So I got all three of them.
So you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I like the combination red black and white. I like that combination. But some teams are using it way, way more than any other team.
So you're just saying that the Devils didn't know how to slap together the amounts of red, black, and white they needed to make it work?
Hey, you know who designed that uniform?
Who?
You know who designed that uniform?
Who?
Martin Brodeur.
Get out of here.
I read an article last night, but I was going to talk about it today. Martin Brodeur was given X number of dollars to make a new uniform.
Well, that's what motivated him.
I can do better than this.
Yeah, but it must have motivated him because the Devils won three Stanley Cups during the 90s, so... Apparently he must have liked it, and nobody else, and fans must have liked it. But you're right. From where I am, I can take a train into the city, and I have seen on those game nights when the Devils play, you know, people will wear their jerseys on the way to the Garden or the Rock, whether it's home or away. But yes, the color scheme of the Devils, I see nothing wrong with it, you know. This may be just an instance of folks just getting greedy because, you know, they're at least, okay, you got the Devils, you got Ottawa. In terms of color scheme, I can't think of anybody else, so it's not like it's being overused.
The Hurricane Carolina.
Oh, that's right, Carolina too. Okay. So three teams, but they use varying amounts of it. I mean, what are you going to do? There ain't been so many colors to go around. And actually, I thought there was more in all honesty, but all right, you got three. Carolina used to be the Whalers, and the Whalers, you know, were green, that sea green, blue, silver, whatever.
Dallas and Minnesota.
Minnesota's been green ever since they got in, and then Dallas stays green after they moved from Minnesota to Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, there was the Golden Seals from Oakland. They were green, but they gone.
You know, that was the greatest uniform I ever seen. When California Golden Seals uniform. I'm a uniform connoisseur. I like talking about uniforms.
The New York Rangers.
The Islanders.
Okay, they have the fish sticks.
Not the fish sticks. The St. Louis Blues.
Right.
The Detroit Red Wings.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chicago Blackhawks. Those are iconic. Montreal Canadiens.
Okay. But there has to be some sort of variety. And you have a finite number of colors to work with.
I remember
the Birmingham team from the USFL. They used brown and silver in their color scheme. And I thought it worked. I thought the uniforms were nice.
Ew, are you serious?
I'm serious. I thought this scheme was nice. But, you know, they lasted that year or whatever it was and stuff, and then they moved on. But, yeah, there's only been so many combinations you can slap together.
Well, the Raiders blew that, and Raiders.
Well,
they
now nobody's ever going to change the Raider colors. You know
that. No. Ever.
You know that.
Never.
But Oakland took advantage of a great opportunity by picking those colors. And I had never seen a California a Seals jersey straight up. But, you know, they were trying to connect.
I think it's a beautiful jersey.
I know it must be a nice-looking jersey, but they wanted to connect with the Oakland community. You know,
yeah.
It's not their fault. They're a lousy team.
It was a terrible team, but a good jersey.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, you have to sometimes have one or the other catch up to each other.
Yeah,
and Oakland wasn't around long enough for that because they just had their GM had a lousy team put together.
Yeah. I got you online.
Okay.
I don't know about you, but I am really upset with the commercial with Serena Williams.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't notice that until a couple of days ago. I said, wait a minute.
You mean
what
the Wonder Woman commercial?
No, about when it's about Superwoman, Wonder Woman and Serena.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying,
Wonder
Woman commercial. It goes to Serena Williams, and then Wonder Woman, and then she morphs into Wonder Serena, and she starts putting tennis balls in the
match. I want to see if you caught this. What did that? How did they change Serena?
Well, no,
I
didn't hear anything.
What they did.
No, I didn't, because all I remember was just the whole morphing into Wonder Serena and she starts smashing tennis balls and shit. So, no, what did I miss?
Okay, Michael, this is 3 days later.
Okay.
I'm like, wait a minute, what are you doing?
Okay.
And I say, nobody caught that.
Well, what happened?
When she became Wonder Woman,
right?
She became 3 shades lighter.
Ah, okay.
And
nobody
caught that.
Well, I damn sure didn't catch it, but you know what? If they made her 3 shades lighter because of the morphing of the two, that could be kind of, I could be construed as kind of funky.
I asked a couple guys, and nobody
goes in. I didn't either because I was either distracted or I really didn't want to see it. I'm thinking, oh, that's that damn commercial again. And I would turn off of it because I don't want to hear John McEnroe. You can't be serious.
I'm tired of this
shit. So, yeah, I definitely would have missed that.
Oh, check it out again.
Well, you know, I see what you're saying.
Damn, they did it again.
Well, no, I see what you're saying because I recently watched The People versus O.J. Simpson a while ago. And if there was one aspect of that series that I hated, it was when they deliberately darkened his skin for that Newsweek cover. You know, I mean, they went and they pushed every button they possibly could.
And they did.
And here's the rub. He didn't do it. I mean,
well,
we know.
Michael, I have a new theory on this.
Okay.
You know, they messed up with the evidence, blood evidence, right?
Right.
They messed it up, right? And guess what? There was OJ genes in that blood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean by OJ genes, I don't mean Randall Simpson James.
His son.
Genes.
Is his son?
I mean a relative of him.
Everybody, listen. When this first happened, my friend Francis Troop at the time, her name is now Francis Petrunia, bless her. We would talk about this incessantly. Friday nights almost turned into a whole evening of playing Clue. people, it wasn't just a casual. Everybody was into this. And
oh, yeah.
Then the whole issue came up about, okay, yeah, she came to the door to pick up whatever it was because she was expecting him because she was dressed in a negligee. And
that's
then all
right.
Other kind of stuff,
that's right.
Other stuff kind of spiraled from that. But the one thing that came in was that, okay, if motherfuckers are saying that DNA don't lie, all right, well, then whose DNA would it be? If it's not
somebody,
O.J. Simpson, it's
his kid. I swear somebody O.J. Simpson did this.
It was his kid. And it was 2 or 3 years after that, the BBC did a documentary where they brought up the issue of O.J.'s kid and him being a chef. And chefs, and I knew one because my
That's
son, my
right.
Dad, was a chef.
That's right. There you go.
Yeah, carried their own knives and stuff like that. So
yes,
it was
sir.
It was not a surprise for someone like that to be traveling with their cutlery because it were their tools of the trade, literally. And yes,
when he came back home to his house.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the first one to meet him?
Of course. Yeah.
His son. Hello?
I'll go so far as to say that O.J. was willing to go to jail for his son. Now, nobody's gonna say that he was a doting father and he loved his kid, blah, blah, blah. And it was selfless of him to sacrifice himself for that. No, but ostensibly, when we look at everything, everybody was so mad that they didn't get O.J.'s black ass.
No.
That,
no, there was
that,
no
that
focus.
Put, exactly.
There was no
they
focus
spent
on
all
OJ.
The energy. They spent all their energy going after him. That's right. They spent all their energy going after him, and I think even at some point O.J. realized that, okay, they're coming after me. They want me. They're not going to want my kid. So I will take the weight. And
right.
He did. He did for his son what Al Cowlings did for him. Because Cowlings was his boy to the end.
Yeah.
I mean, you want somebody who will stick with you like that if it's really
right.
If shit's going to really go down like that. But,
right.
Yes, I think O.J.
Well, also, Michael, and this is the one thing that thinks in my craw to this day.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody, if I tell you Michael Lewis Ingram, that guy is green, and you look at me like, what are you talking about, boy? And then Michael, the sky is green, and you know I'm out of my mind, right? well, Marsha Clark, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
So do not try that glove on. Because if you try that glove on, you're going to lose his case.
Mm-hmm.
She was told 3 times,
yep,
do not use that glove. And what does he do?
That's because they were so blind in getting his ass, they couldn't see their way to anything else. And Cochran was winning the case in the court of public opinion. So
It
didn't help that everything else was weighing on the side of they're pretty much going to fold this thing up because their main objective was to get O.J., not to get the killer. Now, if O.J. was the killer, but I have to say, looking at all of this, and I ain't a logical cat. Everything falls to the son, being the one who did the two of them and the kid.
You think my theory is illogical? I thought I was crazy thinking about this.
Well, let's go further than that, as the professor likes to say. You know, they also try to paint Nicole Brown as this saintly thing. And girlfriend was freaked down. You know, she and her friend Faye Resnick, they were doing freaky shit and all of that. She had a cocaine problem. And if you remember, they did not do an autopsy on her because they knew there was cocaine in her system. And then what were they going to say about that? O.J., for all intents and purposes, was taking care of that whole family. And, of course, that came out over the course of the testimony, but nobody said anything about the other kid, Goldman, and the fact that many of the people out there in those shishi restaurants on the West Coast where you are, the maitre d's and all them, sometimes they run drugs because that's how they can get the stuff to their people.
I go to upscale restaurants every city go. I'm very careful what's around because of that reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's
funny. I mean, it seems like it wasn't that long ago, but damn, this is a while now. It's almost 30 years or something to that effect.
Yeah,
30 years. And you got to wonder what OJ's son must be thinking. Jason is his name. What he must be thinking.
Well, Jason is about 45 years old now, right?
Yeah. He got away with it. He really did. I mean, he can't do a double jeopardy now, but the long and short of it
is everything came to him being
the main suspect. Not once did they even think about, well, you know, let's talk to the kid. Maybe the kid would have folded, but they were so busy trying to go out there what they thought was the prize and OJ that they fucked up.
Well, they wanted to get the head Negro.
That's exactly what
let's fast forward to 2019.
Okay.
2020.
Mhm.
You have a clown in the White House.
Yeah.
Who need to be in jail? I know that. Who need to be in jail?
We know that. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, Michael.
Mhm.
This guy will walk away with nothing. Absolutely, positively nothing. Why? Because that's the way our system is run. Now, if Gary Gray did what Donald Trump did, I would be underneath the jail. You hear me? They wouldn't look at me for 25 years. Okay?
Yeah, that's true.
But
that's
because of who he is and what he has, and what he can't do. They're not going to touch him.
Well, what do you always...
Michael, I'm telling you now.
Mm-hmm.
This boo is going to mess with the 2022 elections.
Yeah, we know that.
Going to mess with him. What?
We know that, though, G. I mean, he hasn't really backed off his initial boast. He told everybody he was going to cheat in the federal election. The post office is still fucked up over what he did in putting DeJoy, a loyalist, in the position of Postmaster General. They destroyed post office boxes. I mean, literally the blue boxes in the streets. Hey, there's some that don't exist anymore. He destroyed them. And then the mail sorters, he took some of those bad boys apart. So think about, you had the election, and now we're almost a year past it, and they just managed to hire people, or I'll say move people to the board that would put them in a position to get DeJoy out of there. That took a whole year. So now when you send Christmas cards this year, Don't be surprised if some folks don't get them until March, because that's how messed up the postal system is. They went from 95% on-time delivery to 38%. That may not sound like much to folks, but think of all the ballots that didn't arrive in time, or think of the ballots that they tried to give false credence to, saying that the election was rigged and all that stuff. Well, maybe because the ballots got there late or they didn't get there at all. But they were trying everything they possibly could do to fuck up the outcome. He knew in advance he was going to lose. You know?
Everything was going to lose. This is what scared me about this.
at least.
Five individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And said some things that they never should say in public. They say anyway.
Yeah.
And they get away with it.
But Gary, that's
that
because...
That woman who said about Iman.
Ilhan Omar.
He needs to be excommunicated from the Senate right now. You don't tell somebody, I see the terrorist. You don't do that.
Gary, come on now. You know doggone well, after Trump got in, it was a culmination of a lot of stuff that had hit the fan, finally culminating to beyond the fan. Now it's like it's accepted. You can threaten a member of Congress. You can
we're going back. What happens now is that these individuals who are doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Now remember back in 1940, you had the situation in 1940. You say America's going forward.
Yeah.
I say no, America's going backwards. Because these five individuals, one, Marjorie Taylor Greene, never should step foot in Washington, D.C. I mean, never. But here she is representing evil. Like, you gotta be kidding me.
But wait a minute, Gary, you're missing the fact that if Trump wasn't successful in getting where he was, this green person, Taylor Green, whatever, she wouldn't even be in the mix. It is the whole overall environment.
You,
from the time
you be there?
Well, look, from the time Obama got in, we knew this was boiling to the surface. And as he got reelected, it was getting worse. Oh, how dare they?
Yeah.
And then the fears of a black planet, because we know everything's getting darker, and in a few years, it's going to be a lot more dark, folks, and not so many not-so-dark folks. And that's going to cause tension.
Have you heard the latest from China? Tennis star has disappeared. They can't find her.
Well, she's gone again? I thought that she surfaced.
And she's gone. People are asking... Where is she? And the government not answering them.
Well, the problem is she's become a dissident only because of who she is. It's not like she wanted to bring the government down or anything like that. You know, somebody got caught doing some dick dastardly thing or whatever the expression is in Mandarin, and they have to do something about it.
Yeah.
And they can't because she's a public figure. Well, she became a public figure, and in some ways we got to give our little sister Naomi credit for that, because she was the first one to bring that out. And, you know, they didn't want to hear all of that. So we're in a situation where...
This happened before, and see, because she spoke out, they didn't like her speaking out.
Well, yeah, but that's the whole point. There's no more cushion for the bad guys to just... do shit for the sake of doing it. You know, now the light's on everybody and the heat's on everybody. And that's why it's so bad. It's like, okay, you got to account for this.
Yeah.
And before there was, we don't have to do anything. Like, what's your favorite saying about all this power and control? Well, they control the narrative.
That's what's going on right now, power and control.
Okay, so they're controlling the narrative, so we say ourselves, all right, this is nothing new. We've seen this before. But how we solve it? Well, public opinion does matter. And little Naomi said, yeah, this ain't right. And more people are saying this ain't right. And eventually,
really
folks
are asking. When he went public, he said, now we got a problem.
It's a problem for a lot of reasons. Japanese and Chinese have always had contentious relationships with each other.
Yeah.
You know, Bruce Lee became a star because in his movies, he rooted for the Chinese cause through the actions of the characters that he played. You know, Japan was always the villain you know.
And he
became a star because of it. So we're not surprised at this. These tribal things, this shit's been going on for a long time. Whether it's been in a book or in a movie or anything like that, we're made privy to it, you know, after the effect.
Yeah.
But to go where you started with this, this is all about the fact that now, whatever blanket used to be around, having a chance to control the spin, it ain't there anymore. So the obvious stuff has to be dealt with because so-called journalists have to ask obvious questions.
It's
not just wanting to do the homework, G.
They won't ask their questions to that government.
No. What I mean is that they never allow anyone to ask the questions because they didn't care. They used to just arrogantly do what they did, and that would be it. But now it's different. Now somebody's going to say, all right, well, everybody's watching. Now you may think that you can get away with this clean over in China, but you can't because now someone's going to ask a question. And it ain't going to be one of those, you know, government questions where you got somebody who's operating for you, trying to cover for you. Now everybody's seeing shit, so now somebody somewhere might ask the question, and if that builds up into other things, that's where the problems start. They can't hide that anymore.
I think this feng shui thing is going to run big because, see, now people are talking about, this is going to be very interesting because people are talking about boycotting the Winter Olympics.
That's true. Actually, I saw a clip about the Chinese hockey team in the Olympics. I'm like, oh, boy. But whatever they do, her name is now on the lips of people outside of China.
And
because of that, they know they're going to have to account for it some way. So even if they're trying to do stuff or even if they are doing stuff, you know, the light's turned on them. They can't turn that off, and they just can't give a government order and say, we ain't talking about it, and that's that. No, they have to be accountable, G, like you said. And this is the difference between then and now.
Well, I think the Chinese thought that people would not pay attention.
Yeah.
And when Naomi Osaka came out, really, she made a real big statement. And like, oh, we got a problem.
They do, but see, it took a toll on Naomi. But Naomi did it anyway. You know, she hasn't been the same since all that shit's happened to her, and she seems to be a sensitive soul who just happens to be a pretty good tennis player.
I believe that we the American Olympic Committee need to boycott these Winter Games. Don't even go until we know what happened to the lady.
They're not going to do that.
Tony,
what's up,
bro?
How's it going?
What's up, T?
How are you, man?
I'm good, man. How was the turkey?
Cool. Matter of fact, you guys are talking tennis. If you get a chance, please do watch. If you get a chance, please go see King Richard.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize until I saw the rolling credits that Serena and Venus were executive
producers. Well, you know that's why they were trying to trash in the first place. Don't let them sisters make money.
Well, see, what's even worse is that one of the half-sisters is basically saying, you know, they should be ashamed of themselves, of how they've tried to sort of lord him up. But if you watch the movie, he is not lorded up. Matter of fact, I think it gives you It gives you a very good depiction of, you know, it doesn't, you know, you, it makes you, you have to watch the movie. He is not lorded up, and they do not sugarcoat anything.
All right.
At all.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, it's very, it's now, it is more Richard than it
mm-hmm.
is of the kid. But that's the point of the movie, was that it was basically given in his due for
mm-hmm.
putting together the two greatest, you know, tennis players in the history of the sport. And that's
mm-hmm.
the point. Sadly, you have a lot of, and I'll just come right out and say it, you got a lot of men hating women out here some of these media searches that are literally
mm-hmm.
going after him, talking about how, you know what, but see the movie for yourself. I do not, you know, trust me, this is not a, you know, this is not a love fest thing. This is
mm-hmm.
it just shows you the obstacles that they went through and everything else. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think for the most part, I think historically they got it right. You know, and they, you know, unfortunately with a lot of movies, they're going to play certain things up for,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I really want to see it.
Whatever. But I think, I would say maybe about 90 to 95% of this movie is very, very accurate. And I think it gives you a better understanding of what he
mm-hmm.
and I think it just showed, you know, it also showed you that he was not a perfect guy. And see, to me, it's not a thing of making him a perfect guy. It's what his overall goal was. And
mm-hmm.
and see, it, again, it just reinforced why they were, you know, why they were hated. And most importantly, though, it just shows you, you know, how they were able to, you know, they were able to take over the tennis world. And again, if you get a chance to check it out, you know, please do.
And once again, the question comes up: the American Tennis Association past 15 years, past 15, 20 years, has one male in the top 10. One.
Yep.
They have zero. Currently have zero in the top 10. So I'm thinking, wait a minute. You play to win the game. That's what I'm told. And the American Tennis Association refuses to even go there.
Gary, you have to play to win the game, yes, but you have to have a player in order to win the game. And the men's tournament didn't have players who could win the game. The women's tournament did. They had two of them, the Williams sisters, you know, and from them, there were others, including little sister Naomi, who used their styles as a template. You got Coco Gauff and lesser but still stars like Sloane Stephens and Madison Keys and all of that. And, you know, all of them would be there if it were not for Serena and Venus, you know. And King Richard really was a king in regards to the approach he took in making those girls stars. Notice at no time, and of course I haven't seen the movie, so I might be wrong, but at no time did anyone ever come from any of the tennis intelligentsia and say to Richard Williams, you know what, we like what you did with the ladies. Can you do that for the U.S. national team?
Well, the movie basically takes the to give you a little bit of perspective, goes from the early years when
mm-hmm.
Venus was making her debut. Matter of fact, you know, not to give it away too much, it basically focuses on the early part of the year. Matter of fact, It's probably more of, you know, if you're talking playing wise, it focuses a little bit more on Venus, but it doesn't ignore Serena though. Trust it. Because see, again, the movie is more about, you know, what they went through in regards to getting them there. You know, how they got shunned. Mm-hmm. And how the hucksters try to you know show them out and what have you, and again, it because see, you know, if you did a story on their whole careers, you could probably do like 85 movies from their careers. But it just, you know, it's, you know, now maybe at some point down the road it will, you know, do something just on just the two of them. But this was more of a homage to Williams, and to be quite honest, it's really the first time that, from what I can remember, that his story is really being told.
Who was telling it before? They talked about him being this arrogant Negro who would dare have his charges come up in here and whoop all these little white girls' asses and whatnot and win all these titles. They can't point in anything in Serena or Venus's career from that formula standpoint of both of them, where white tennis officials can't take credit for them. You know, they can't.
And in one video, I love this video to this day.
The interview.
That's
in there. That's in there. That's a recreation. There's a recreation.
You know what?
That's
one of the best visual of like the what America does. Everything that America does.
Oh, absolutely. And trust me, it's that you know, that is in there. And see, what's sad is you have these other black women journalists that are basically doing the work of the white man.
Of course, some bitches.
Putting him down. Why do you want to be a militant one minute and then you want to suck from the teeth of the white establishment the next? The thing is, white establishment will never be able to take credit for them. That's the biggest reason why they hate them.
Now, after
they both played each other in the Wimbledon final that first time, I think he was sort of pushed to the side. But the thing is, without the stuff that he did early on, they would not have been able to.
Of course not.
You know, they would not have been able to have gone. And see, they carved out there. There's a funny story, because, you know, Will Smith, who also I guess served as one of the producers as well, but he said the longest 2 hours of his life was because their whole thing was they wanted to screen the movie before it came out, and he said the longest 2.5 hours of his life was waiting for them to sort of approve the movie. And I guess, you know, as it was going on, there were, you know, the girls got very emotional because it got, you know, it brought back all the memories and everything else. But again, it's well done. It's a well done movie. It's not over the top, and again, it doesn't lord him up. He shows you exactly who he is.
He's human.
Exactly. And there you go. And see, that's the thing. See, it's so easy to because that's you know, he's been demonized pretty much from day one.
You know,
even afterwards. You know.
You know. See, a lot
my
of
thing
folks...
has always been. Go ahead. I'm sorry about.
No, I was going to say, a lot of folks remember when Jennifer Capriati came on the scene. She was 13, 14 years old.
And that's prominently put on there as well. Again, not to tell the movie, but now that part. Put it this way, unless you really don't know a lot about their story, there's nothing in there that's going to surprise you. But the way it plays out is it's important that even if you know their history or don't know their history, to watch this, because it's all about that whole struggle. It's all about how he was. I mean, sometimes he was a pure 24-karat asshole about it, but the whole thing was he had a plan all along.
Yes.
Because,
he committed assholery in the name of their success. Yeah.
But this was with a capital A. There's a line, and I think they've shown it in the trailers where one of the guys said, you may have the next, Michael Jordan on your hands. And, no, bro, I got the next two. And again, basically anything and everything he was correct about.
And that's right, really why they hate his ass. That's the real reason why. They hated his black ass because he was right. And they did the work. And you can't take credit for it if you didn't do it.
No.
And he did.
Exactly. Now, the obvious choice, when you're looking at these stories, the obvious comparison is the Williams sisters and Tiger Woods. And yes, think in many ways Earl Woods' story has never really been, depicted. And Earl was not, Earl was not perfect either. Earl made some bombastic statements or have you whatever. But I think also, I think just to be real here, the difference was that I always felt like with Tiger, at some point, went off base in the sense of he fell black, Freudian slip. He fell back on his non-blackness, and I've always felt that it led to his
being a meat culture. See, I understand what Tiger was going through
your message for
Reggie.
When the
Are you trying to insinuate that there were felonious misgivings of a professional football game that went on?
Oh, you got that! You got that so right.
Sabotage.
Yes. And it's interesting. They made a point to say that, and I'm not sure how true it is, but they're saying that this was the most watched regular season game.
Yes.
And I'm like,
hey, guess what? It was the most bet. This year.
Well, I know that's right.
Sure.
What do you do when you have a plate of turkey and other kinds of good shit there, and it's just the middle of the afternoon? Why, you bet sports? That's what you do. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh man, but you know, as a personal aside, I can't now that betting is allowed here in the sovereign mm-hmm. state of Connecticut, there are billboards all over. I had Thanksgiving in Norwich with my nephew, and he mm-hmm. lives up near the casinos.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm gonna tell you, all the way up there, DraftKings,
FanDuel.
It's like, you know, literally all of a sudden, remember the old weather guy that used to be on Channel 9, Lloyd Lindsey Young?
Yes, Lloyd Lindsey Young.
Literally,
yes.
It was like, hello, Connecticut.
Exactly.
You know, like, yeah. All the way, I mean, all the way up there. Every, when I was a kid,
I would expect nothing less. As the Detroit Pudding Tats were getting their ass whooped, I counted 18 DraftKings/FanDuel commercials in that game.
Was that the first half hour? What about the other 2 hours?
Exactly. I'm all counting after the first 2 hours. Yes. They know in certain terms that they not let everybody know what time it really was. And Gary, just like you said,
the Detroit Lions, the NFL has allowed the Detroit Lions to be who they are, what they are this year, man. The Detroit Lions have no business being 0-0 or whatever they are. But when you allow them to trade one of the best players out of the league, you have two guys retire.
Wait a minute. If we're going to go there, then you better turn the other page on that, G, because now we got other situations coming up. After the Aaron Rodgers assholery situation, we've got Amari Cooper in Dallas. And one reason Dallas lost was because Cooper did not take the field. Why did he not take the field? Because we found out he wasn't vaccinated.
Yep.
Interesting.
And also,
I found it real interesting that LJ got pulled literally hours before game time on this past weekend. Now, it led to Mr. Hundley having a great comeback and winning the game. But it's interesting. And Baltimore was very quick to say, it's not COVID-related. See, if they had just said he was out with injuries, okay, no problem. But see, the fact that they denied it, they kept on going on, it wasn't COVID.
What COVID?
But it made me think. Yeah, it made me, first of all, I was looking to see if Leslie Nielsen was standing around saying, nothing to see here, first of all. But the fact that they literally figured it was like, it's not going to have nothing to do with COVID, it made me think it must have happened.
He's not in the stove.
Yeah, yeah.
I think COVID-19 is going to change the whole end of the season.
Well, it's I don't know if you guys heard earlier today, the Islanders have had the Islanders game for today, and the next two games have been postponed due to breakouts of COVID. Now, the Islanders were already shorthanded because they had guys on the injured list.
And basically,
they were putting out the friggin' Bridgeport Islanders the last 2-3 games, and it showed as they were getting skunked. Earlier today, it looks like through COVID and injuries, they only had about a dozen or so guys to suit up.
They only had 6 forwards. Holy
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, yeah. So as of right now, the next two games have been postponed, and I guess the league is supposed to reevaluate either on Tuesday or Wednesday. I think Wednesday is their next scheduled game. But there's a new variant now. So.
Yeah, and he made a point of saying it's from South Africa.
This
is Negroes doing this shit now. Okay, now
Sure. But it's now, you know, now that there's, and you know what, in a sense, you sort of saw this coming because of the holiday, because this was basically the first major holiday that everybody was given, and it was nice to be able to get together, but unfortunately, it coincides with what's going on, and then you had, you know, then you had Midnight Black Friday the next day to offset, because everybody and their mama was buying TVs and all sorts of other things.
Speaking of Black Friday, guys, we have a serious problem on the West Coast. Last night, 35 people in L.A. went to Macy's and Vogelbaton and sold another $200,000 worth of stuff.
35 people went and sold $200,000. So you said 35 people went into L.A. on the West Coast, went into L.A. at the Macy's there, stole over $200,000 worth of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think now you begin to wonder, okay, L.A. got hit, Phoenix got hit that night.
Mm-hmm.
As we go in the Bay Area. So what are these guys doing?
Well, that many people, it ain't an accident. So, yeah, it's orchestrated. Yeah, there are teams of people doing stuff. This ain't anything that's not been seen before. They had this shit happen on the East Coast, but it's never been as many people. You would see anywhere from 6 to 12 people involved in something like that at a high-end store. And they would put the quiet on it because, you know, the so-called investors, those who invest stock in shit like this, they don't want to hear that they lost shit like that. But when it's that many people and you see an obvious, you know, activity, like on cameras where motherfuckers is just stealing shit that's not nailed down and running the fuck out, you can't hide that. So they have to talk about it. And, of course, there's other aspects that you got to look into, too, like the stuff that's not happening with that immediate action. You know, it could be something as simple as people getting their catalytic converters snatched, because it's a process that doesn't take long for experienced folks. It's snatching people's shit. They're busting people's windows up. And a lot of that might be done over the shortcut.
Last night at Home Depot, somebody broke into Home Depot and stole 30 sledgehammers. Okay, what are you doing with sledgehammers?
I think it's more.
The bust up windows and doors. What are you doing?
I think this is more than just random stuff. I think you got some people that are trying to recreate the Purge.
Exactly.
Because I think it's a little bit of backlash. Also, you know, let's be honest. I think a lot of it is also backlash from the verdicts from the past
two weeks. You're right.
Because there are people that still, you know, there are people that, you know, there's going to be the the supporters of that kid that are going to try to force their way. But then there's also going to be folks that want to, I'll be honest with you, that are trying to defend themselves, even with the whole guilty verdict with the Aubrey thing, because there's going to way, there's a backlash, and it's more it's more so, you know, angry white folks. Because see, the knee jerk, the way that this has been depicted, it's implying that it's black folks that are doing this.
Exactly.
And I don't think it is.
The people at Home Depot, the people at Home Depot this week were white, young white guys.
Sure, sure. And you
two, three years ago, in Emeryville, which is about 10 minutes from my house, these guys bugged up a mall in Emeryville. And what did they use to do it? They used sledgehammers. And it bugged up the windows, and the other guy took over and took out the dump.
It's crazy.
Don't call it crazy.
This is backlash. This is white backlash. Because you know, you're starting to see not much. You're starting to see some justice, and also there's backlash from, you know, now I guess they've indicted a few more folks in regards to the January 6th riot. And also apparently they've gone after the DA in Georgia in regards to the Arbery verdict as well. So yeah, it's you know, folks are trying to quote unquote in their mind's eyes even the scales.
There's a lot of meat to that sandwich, Gary. And we can't forget that every time they do something, something else is being done underneath it all. Because that has been the standard since that motherfucker got in there in the first place. Every time Trump created chaos, there was some stuff done under the radar that didn't hit everybody right then and there. The after effect was prevalent. The Louis DeJoy thing was a clear example of that. Now, if there wasn't corrective measures taken, maybe Trump gets reelected. And because all their shit didn't work out, like Dick Dastardly in one of those wacky racist cartoons, you know, they decided we're going to do something anyway. And that's when all this shit about Pence started. So believe me, they were sore losers, but they weren't going to go quietly into the night. And now this whole thing has lost whatever fragility of the moment. Everybody knows what's going on now. It's like nobody's hiding anything. I don't like you. I've never liked you. You black motherfucker. Fuck you and your life mattering. You know, that's what some of this is about.
As long as you're making me money, you're okay.
Excuse me. Oh man.
He goes to the American history. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. You still want to play this game? No, it never changes.
Above all of this now is, again, the resentment slipping away. The recent situation with LeBron at the basketball game. And those crackers saying, "Well, we hope your kid gets killed in a car accident." You know, that's what we're talking about now. There's no civility. It's like, oh, well, I didn't like you anyway, you black motherfucker. Now, oh, yeah, please, you can die and your kids can die. Hell, oh, the hell with you. So.
And it's funny because me and my brother were actually watching the game. It was a clear cheap shot by him. You know, the fact that he didn't think, LeBron was 100% wrong about that. But of course, they kept replaying it like it was the fucking
he popped the ball
all over the place. That guy's bleeding from the mouth and the eye and everything else. But again, you knew that this was in many ways that was a bigger story than all the football games on Sunday, because they made it a point to just, and the fact that they,
they get replayed over and over again.
They were treating it like it was the fucking Zapruder film. Back to the mouth. But again, it's par for the course. And the league doesn't help themselves. Look, I get it. You're going to suspend the kid maybe one more game than LeBron because of the outburst, but to me, LeBron should have got two. It should have been. But see, and then I thought that they sort of covered themselves when they hit him up for $1,500 for language.
No, not language.
I mean, you know, it's like, really? Let's put it this way. The hypocrisy just keeps at it in regards to on and off the field, because to piggyback on what we were talking about with the Lions, I mean, it's long overdue that the Lions shouldn't be. I mean, someone else, I mean, I'm not even crazy about the Cowboys being there. I think it should be I personally think they should rotate. I think it should be rotated. I'm not saying we should have Jacksonville versus the 49ers, mind you, but I'm just saying it should be rotated.
Wait, guys. I was on Facebook the other day, right? And it's always us doing this. I said, LeBron James is a cool guy, right? And this woman, a black woman, LeBron James gets away with so and so. Wait a minute. What are you talking about here?
Look, you got
LeBron
just a minute.
LeBron James black people all over, and he gets going on LeBron James. I said, stop it.
Look, there's just as many self-hating black folks that hate on LeBron as there are bigoted white folks that hate him. That's the crazy.
Whether she's like a
Jordan fan or is Candace Owens' bastard child. It's the same thing. Unfortunately, there's a lot of us that hate on us too.
Yes. No question. We've come into the time, to quote Tony and the movie The Fan, where we got a lot of nut job motherfuckers out there. And they're waiting for the opportunity to do something like that. Now, I don't know if you saw Malice at the Palace, but when they I recommend it. They did a decent job. So Malice of the Palace had highlighted not just the guy who spilled the beer, but the guy who thought he was going to take on Steven Jackson. Was he got his ass whooped? But I digress. They let this guy come on there and he talked all kind of shit. Oh, it was a bitch move. Blah 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 blah. And then the guy who spilled the drink, he was like, well, you know, yeah, so what? Basically, he was like, I'm white. What are y'all going to do to me? Ban me from the game? So what? I'll watch it at home. And those were two takeaways that really disturbed me from watching that film. You know, never mind all the other shit and how they built up Indiana and said they were going to be a championship team and all. That was a subplot as far as I was concerned.
Yeah.
The whole issue is they talk about this fan. That was the problem, the fan. That fan was not a fan. He thought he could do anything he wanted to do, and Lord knows how much liquor he must have had in him before he thought he could step to a pro player and try to whoop his ass. I saw the look on his face.
And Mike, by the way, the incident of the night with LeBron in Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And Indiana has been known as a redneck haven, you know. And for somebody who loved the sport as much as Allen Iverson to say he hated playing in Indiana and that he hated being in Indiana while they were there is consistent with what they've done all his career. Apparently, Indiana does their dirt behind the scenes and heckling and doing more than most on-the-road places. Now, you saw some incidents come up, like the one up in Utah with Westbrook and others, but Indiana has been dead consistent.
It's funny because, you know, whenever you hear like the voting stuff and whatever, mm-hmm. they always say, you always got to get the farm belt and the middle of the country, you know, the backbone, you know, mm-hmm. the blue blood, whatever. Yeah. Cold word, Klan folks that don't wear their hoods 6 days a week.
Exactly. Or Klan folks who happen to like basketball for whatever real reason.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it until my junior year. I'm going to class in the middle of the day. And guess who comes walking by? People in row.
I take it they weren't Catholic priests.
Yeah, or Rhodes Scholars.
I mean, they're walking right through campus. It's like, for real?
Well, they probably didn't have on the Have a Nice Day robes like the guys in Blazing Saddles. But, you know, the fact that this white supremacy is gone beyond being localized as something that didn't exist in some people's minds to something that's out there now every day. The taint of white supremacy is on everything now. You know, sports used to be isolated, but now, no, it's not. We know everything has racial ramifications to it, right? Back to Jack Johnson knocking the shit out that white boy. You know, they co-opted him because he was fucking his white wife, and he literally got arrested for fucking his white wife because he took her across state lines. So they instituted the Mann Act for the express purpose of putting his black ass in jail. And now we see this thing extended through other means. Well, if you're not fucking your white wife, if you're not fucking anything white, we can fuck you because the government says so. Ask Joe Louis. You know, Joe Louis ended up broke. For what? Mm-hmm. He didn't have any major vices. He wasn't a gambler. You know, he actually contributed to the arts. But Joe Louis almost died broke because the IRS decided we're going to take some of his money any old fucking way.
And they couldn't stand Bob Ali because Ali said, I ain't going to be a Nazi. You can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. See, that's another reason why he was hated, because, you know, there's that famous Sports Illustrated cover where he said, I'm going to make sure I take care of my money because I know what's happened with black people before me. Not just Lewis, but, you know, Sugar Ray and Joe Gans and Charles, all of those black boxers. You got to remember.
Right back to this single question. If black guys need that, we ain't playing today. They got scared when Colin Kaepernick did what he did. That fool got scared because they said, "Oh, well, we got to talk about this."
Well, Gary, that question.
I'm waiting for a day where black guys need to walk off the field, off the gridiron, off the ice, and not come back until they get it right.
Gary, that question has already been asked. As a matter of fact, the guy who asked it was Mario Balotelli. While he was over in Europe, he expressed his dismay at the constant nonsense that the black players had to go through. You know, he was adopted and played in the Serie A, Italy. He played in the Premier League. So he's been all over that. And Balotelli said he challenged his African brothers, wherever they're playing around the world, to pool their money, build stadiums in Africa, and develop an African league. He's the only one that I know of to this day that has said this. But he did say it. And he was willing to put his money, apparently he has saved his money, and put it where his mouth is.
Well,
and
we had 32 football teams.
I'm not talking about American football, G. I'm talking soccer.
I know. I was just saying you have 32 American football teams, and only half of one quarter,
stop it. No. Look, okay, let's call this what it is. The NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, they may push a little bit. They ain't going to shove because they don't have to. You know, Mahomes buys a stake in the Kansas City Royals, and we're like, okay, yeah, that's the middle of the country. It's a small market. We can handle that. But you think if Mahomes wanted to buy the Chicago Cubs or a piece of the Cubs, they were going to let him do it? Hell no. You know, and it's the same thing with basketball. Jordan, we can say what we want about his prowess on the basketball field or his false gambling. They were not going to give Michael Jordan an opportunity to buy a piece of the Knicks or the Lakers or any of the big franchises. Or the Bulls. That's right. And you'd think they would give him a piece of the Bulls for all he won for them. But they didn't. And that's because Jordan is who he is. That's all he is. They know his faults. They ain't going to let it get us so far. Same thing with Magic Johnson. As great a businessman as Magic Johnson has turned out to be, do you think they're going to give him an opportunity to get full ownership of the Lakers? Hell no. As they said in the movie X, that's too much power for one man to have. They ain't even giving up that kind of power or the clout that goes with it.
When Irving and when Dr. J and Walter Payton tried to lure a team to St. Louis, they got shut down.
That's right.
Bill Cosby tried to put stock in the team. That's one of several reasons why William H. Cosby Jr. is looked upon as a pariah. But see, the thing is, we do have folks like Ice Cube who put together the Big Three, and know, you may not be a fan of basketball or whatever, but it's done very, very well. He targeted a certain our audience. It's been very successful. You know, we just need to see more. We just need to see more, because see, it's not like it's impossible. You know, again, the Negro Leagues are a perfect example of that, because their whole thing. See, we have to take the attitude that they had, because their whole thing was, okay, you don't want us to play your game, fine, we'll do our own and make it make it better and what have you. You have to we have to have a serious thing with it. And see, here's the deal. There are guys in all the leagues that do have that entrepreneurship. Now, the only thing is, it's not necessarily involved in sports. You know, we see what Junior Bridgman has done over the years. We talked about Willie Davis the other night in regards to that. You know, Jim Brown, one of the reasons why Jim Brown is still revered, because he was one of the first players that talked about, you know, independentship after your playing days and what have you. So it's there. And look, I get it. Are there a lot of scared Negroes out there that don't want to? Yeah, we saw that with the Kaepernick thing, because we saw that with Kurt Flood, when Kurt Flood basically tried to, you know, Bob Gibson will tell you right this, you know, hey, I dropped the ball because I should have been there. You know, as great as Hank Aaron and Willie Mays and all those other great black players or whatever, they did not show up during the whole Kurt Flood proceedings. Does it take anything away from their greatness? No, but it just also shows you that, you know, that the scared Negro syndrome is nothing new. It's just, you know, it's just been repackaged. There's nothing really new under the sun.
There would have been, and there should have been, journalists from the black press to say something about it, but there were not. They did not say boo about this. And this was the 70s, so, okay, we weren't around yet, and I'm not trying to toot our own horn, but you better believe there were cats who were writing for papers who could have spoke on this and saw the ramifications of it, and let's just say their voices were not as profound as they should have been.
And see, that's why it's incumbent upon us now, because, you know, look, you know, thank goodness there are all other ways that we're able to put our message out there. You know, the internet, there's a lot of good with the internet, but there's also a lot of bad in the internet.
Yep.
But see, that's with any medium. You know, when you go from, you know, when I first started in this business, you had 32 major media conglomerates. Now it's 6. Somewhere along the way, a lot of people dropped the ball and allowed themselves to get, you know, for lack of a better word, to get whored out.
Yeah.
And that's therein lies the problem. And see, we're not alone in this. It's not just the athletes. It's the journalists.
Nope.
It's the, you know, it's the entertainment thing.
Yeah.
You know, they've been busy trying to make an example out of Travis Scott for the quote-unquote riot that happened at his concert. When all those people got stopped in Cincinnati, did anybody blame the Who? Not at all.
Thank you.
Not at all. But you know, let it be that because it was a black concert, it's all his fault.
Exactly.
You know, whatever. And see, it's little things like that need to be brought into the forefront, because trust, there's nothing new under the sun. It's just things are done differently, and the media manipulation is done in different ways. But that's why it's incumbent upon us to point that out. You know,
I agree.
You know, whether it be, you know, the fact that, you know, the black quarterbacks are still going through mess, or that there aren't, that you know, look, Jordan for all his quote unquote greatness, he's a puppet. You know, he's a puppet dictator. You know,
yeah.
You know, he's there for as a symbol. You know, if Jordan was owning a different team besides Charlotte, you know, we might look at it a little bit differently. But they basically just said, you know, here, take this to go away. And look, even as prominent as Magic has tried to become over the years, they still give him little pieces. Now, what I do appreciate about what Magic does, Magic has other ventures outside of sports.
And that's
the thing. Look, I want to see black ownership in sports just as much as you do, but I also think it's important that we have black ownership in so many other things because
I wouldn't be greedy.
There's nothing wrong with being greedy, but you also want to see black general managers. I want to see black owners.
That's why
it's incumbent to own other things as well, because it's important that sports is important to us because of us. You know, at the end of the day, we are still fans and everything else.
Yeah.
But it's also important that we own other things
as
well. So that when we do venture into the sports world, they won't play games. Now look, they're gonna play games. That's never ever gonna change.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have to. It is still incumbent on us to do the other stuff and then some. Because you got to remember, those Negro League owners, they weren't just Negro League owners. You know, they were owners of other businesses. You know, the one thing that the Bingo Long movie depicted that was on point was that these guys owned other businesses. You know, some of them were funeral parlors, some of them were bar owners, some of them were other business owners. And see, that's the thing. And remember, they're probably going through more hell in the business thing. Look at Sister Girl that they tried to take the Matrix thing from her.
Yeah,
you think that's the only movie you think that's the only person in Hollywood whose idea was taken away?
She was responsible for Terminator 2.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can't tell me that there aren't other black writers, black folks that had remember, I've told this story several times. I remember working, a newspaper, newspaper years ago, and all of us watched Living Single back in the day.
Yep.
Now, a friend of mine's, I guess you could say friend, Living Single is just a black ripoff of Friends. But she forgot one thing. Living Single actually began a whole year before Friends did.
I know.
So, if anything, you know, you're biting off of our stuff again. I mean,
that's right.
Think of the stuff that George Washington Carver didn't patent. He didn't have die penniless. He didn't have to die
that's
penniless,
right.
But he didn't because he didn't have copyrights on a lot of the stuff. And also, I'm willing to bet you that if there was someone on his behalf to try to get copyrights, they probably fucked him at the drive-thru as well.
Slam the door. Yeah, that's right. Ask yourself this. Just how much money did Michael Jordan make the league that they would concede? Hold on. How much money did he make so that the owners would concede giving him Charlotte? Now they gave it to him for something like $230 million, $250 million, right? Now we know that's chump change. You know, Knicks season ticket holders spend more than that in a year, but it's worth more now. And we know that the Knicks who have not won a TV or rather television title or intercontinental title since 1973 are worth over $1.6 billion. How does this happen? Well, you ask yourself the same question with the Charlotte Hornets, who haven't won anything in that time frame either, at ever, or not, well, Bobcats, whatever they want to call themselves now.
I remember, all they did was hand it to one black man who got tired of it, and then he handed it to another black man at the end of the day.
That's right.
It's very similar to the movie Hoodlum, where Bumpy Johnson was just trying to, you know, survive against Gus Schultz in that. That hasn't changed. They always look. They'll talk about our nigga dollars and our nigga pennies, but when they start to become nigga $100 and nigga $1,000, then all of a sudden,
we want some of this. Exactly. Oh, and no doubt about that. And since you brought up Junior Bridgman, think about this. If there's one cat who could put up the money on his own to get a franchise, it's Bridgman. Bridgman owns over 60, I think it's Wendy's. I could be wrong on that, but he owns 60 Wendy's.
He owns a bunch of things, like Wendy's and bunch of, and Dave Bing, the former mayor of Detroit, and Piston. He's also another guy that's a bunch of. That's the thing.
He can write the check right now.
Yeah. There are a lot of former and current athletes out there that do have liquid wealth, but they haven't put it in the sports. And you know what?
Exactly.
I'm not going to hate on them for that.
I think they know the
kind of bullshit that they would have to put up with. Because look, if I had to put up with that kind of bullshit as a player, I know what I'm going to have to put up with as an owner.
Exactly.
Yeah, and again, I don't think it's justified, but I think you gotta.
What do I have cooking for tomorrow night? Well, as far as cooking is concerned, leftovers. Oh man, I always remember how my mother, whenever the leftovers got down to turkey soup, I knew we were almost done, because
the
turkey.
Right?
Yeah, the turkey. Then it was the sandwiches. Then it was turkey hash or turkey
wings. New England
boiled turkey.
New England boiled, exactly. But when it got to the turkey soup, I smelled his ass boiling in that pot as they trying to make soup out of his bones. I knew, okay, the turkey's almost gone. Thank goodness, because I was all turkeyed out. Well, I'm not all leftovered out yet, but I'm close. So now we get to the point where tomorrow night we sit and get a chance to kick back, burp and fart, and other stuff like that while we're listening to the music that be mine stream. Hopefully it'll ease some of that.
The burping and farting was going on even before the before this week, but continue.
Exactly.
Hey, so you want to talk about conspiracy theories? Today, the Alabama Crimson Tide are losing.
Yes.
The Ohio State Buckeyes got their butt kicked today.
I'm going to be interested in hearing what Patrick has to say.
That throws the BCS in complete chaos.
Put it this way. Down in Cincinnati, they're doing their happy dance because they're pretty much something really silly. They're gonna at least make the four. You know, I guess they still gotta win the league title next week, but
If Alabama beats Georgia next week, it ain't a complete mess.
Well, I won't even cry shenanigans. I will go to the next level and say, next week there will be sabotaging. And those crooks in the striped shirts will make sure, as they say in the classic cartoon, Tortoise Meets Hare, we don't think the rabbit will finish the race, or the turtle will finish the race, do we?
No, boss.
That's what's going to happen. They're going to do a Nancy Kerrigan on that team, on Cincinnati, and they'll be laying on the ground after it's over going, why? But we know why, because you're not supposed to be making that kind of money being one of the finalists in the college football playoffs. Now, when they get to 12 games or 12 teams, okay, we'll see you then. But somehow, Cincinnati will be subject to sabotaging of some sort. And they will
they're already saying it. Well, Mike, they're already saying it. Well, you know, a two-loss Alabama is probably a better, you know, like, really? This is where we're going?
That's right.
They won't charge
the SEC with felony assholery. So we know somehow Cincinnati will be co-opted and something will happen. We don't know what, but we just know it's coming.
Speaking of playoffs, by the way, guys, congrats to Bowie State. They're going to be in the Elite Eight in football for the first time in history. Although they got to go up against the big one, though. They got to go to Georgia and take on Valdosta State, who has been a powerhouse. But if there's a team to do it, they can. And also, later on tonight, and within another half hour or so, the final FAMU makes its return back to the FCS playoff as they go to Northeast Louisiana, one of the top offenses in the country. So already it's been a good day for HBCUs. I'm actually, as we're speaking, I'm watching the Bayou Classic.
What's the score?
The 10-10 with about 9 minutes to go. This is like the first time in like forever that the SWAC championship, or either half of the SWAC championship, isn't on the line. Of course, you know, SWAC championship game is next week, and we'll know, and that'll get half of the celebration bowl. And again, congratulations to South Carolina State, who won the MEAC, so they're going to Atlanta in December. So end of the HBCU season is falling into form, and they've already started playing hoops. So it's a good time. It's a fun time of the year.
Well, wait a minute. What happened to Coach Sanders?
They're going to play Prairie View. They play them next week in the SWAC championship game. The winner will go to the Celebration Bowl. See, the thing is, once they came up with the Celebration Bowl, they semi gave up the FCS thing. Because the MEAC is down to, you know, basically kissing cousins now, they sort of went back and got it, and that's why FAMU was able to get in this year.
All right.
And kudos to them, because look, we all know what happened when they tried to go independent a few years, and the NCAA tore them 3-4 assholes before they could really get back.
That's true.
Now, whether they win or lose tonight, FAMU's back. You know, FAMU is back. With the tradition of Gaither and Billy Joe and all those guys, but Willie Simmons has done it in probably less time, but the fact that you're talking about FAMU and the NCAA playoffs, it's a good thing. It's a great thing.
It is a good thing. Yeah.
Also, I grabbed my Missouri Valley Conference. I had 16 and it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of that, too. So.
Yeah, this is, you know, you may not put this may be the first year in a while where we may not have to watch 2, 5, and 6 teams in a piece of shit bowl game. There's actually some decent teams around the country this year. Thank goodness.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen. What you got that to say, Tony, before I get out of here?
My last word for today, Sterling Marte.
The A's again, right?
Thank you for the other guy too.
He's really good.
I think if nothing else, it definitely Michael Conforto will definitely be in another uniform next year, and doesn't bother me a bit.
All right.
thank you, gentlemen, for a great episode.
Another one of them Johnny Carson vacations.
All right, guys.
See you tomorrow night at 9. Have a safe weekend, everybody.
All right, take care, man.
Bye.
And that'll be the end of the show. Thank you for coming home. I'll see you guys next week. Same bad time. Same bad thing. Good night.